Praise God. Good evening, saints. How you doing? Amen. Anybody glad to be in the house of God tonight? Anybody come expecting anything from God tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, this is the Lord's house and his pasture. We're all his sheep and he knows how to feed us. Amen. You have your Bible tonight. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. The title of this message is, It's the Anointing That Breaks the Yoke. I wonder if you'd help me. I wonder if you'd look at somebody, help me with my title. Look at somebody and tell them it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Look at one more person. Tell them tonight it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to start off in Acts chapter 10 tonight. Acts chapter 10 at verse 38, reading about our Savior. Acts 10:38 says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth. How God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's a powerful verse of scripture. We learn so much from this one verse of scripture. First of all, the Bible tells us right here that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, that God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Isn't that interesting? You know, Jesus was fully God and fully man. How many know that? His deity, Colossians 2:9, his deity is unquestioned. He was fully God and fully man. He was the Son of Man and the Son of God. Amen. And thank God for that. But do you know, when he operated in this earth, he operated in a human body. And he laid aside his rights to his deity. And he operated in a human body, and that's why the Father anointed him. He was anointed in the human body. He's God. He didn't have to be anointed, except that he laid aside his rights and privileges as God, operating in a human body, operating using faith like you and I use faith. And so if Jesus had operated in his deity, he would have never had to been anointed. He already is. I mean, he's the creator of all things. He's God. So, but because he humbled himself, the Bible says in Hebrews, he took on a robe of flesh. He submitted himself to the Father's will, and thank God that he did that. But God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. Everybody say, in power. I tell you, God, the Holy Spirit, he always comes with power. Amen. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. There's a difference between God and the enemy. The enemy's always doing something bad and God's always doing something good. Aren't you glad about it? Praise God. And because God was with him, he healed those who were oppressed because God was with him. So what's your first point, preacher? My first point is that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. You are anointed by the Holy Spirit if you're born again tonight. I said, you and I, as New Testament believers, we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad about that? Now, Jesus, we know, we don't have time to go here, but I'll just give it to you for reference. John 3, 33 and 34, the scriptures tell us that he had the Spirit of God without measure. He had the Holy Spirit without measure, and we have the Holy Spirit as a pledge, as a down payment. But thank God, when we get filled with that down payment, when we get filled with that pledge, I tell you what, glory to God, something's going to change in this earth realm. You're in Acts chapter 10. Go backwards to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. What did I tell you the title of this message was? It's the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Here in Acts chapter 5, man, we see that that Peter was anointed. Peter was anointed. This is not the same Peter. I mean, it is the same Peter. He's the same person that we see in the Gospels, even the person who denied Jesus. But he's been transformed. By the time we catch up with Peter in Acts chapter 5, here's a man that's been transformed by the power and outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. And by Acts chapter 5, Peter's operating with a powerful anointing. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. And it says there through 16, I'll read. I'm reading New American Standard first. It says here, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number to such an extent, that they even carried the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets. Now listen to this, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any of them. And also the people from the cities of the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. There was an anointing on Peter. You couldn't say Peter did this. Peter did. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was upon Peter. Well, I came to remind you tonight that if you're a believer tonight, how many of you are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? You're already born again, on your way to heaven already. I tell you what, if you're born again tonight, you are anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 10:38 said Jesus was anointed. Here in Acts chapter 5, we see Peter was anointed. Go with me back to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. How many know David was anointed? And verse 23 says, so it came about whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would take a harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. First of all, there's no evil spirit came from God. God doesn't have any evil spirit. It's just that's translated incorrectly by the translator. It means God allowed an evil spirit to come on Saul. His disobedience. Saul began to seek out mediums and spiritists and was down there with the witches of Endor trying to, he was in disobedience to God. He had backslidden and rebelled against God and started seeking the enemy, looking for direction instead of going to God. And he got out from under God's protection, and God allowed that evil spirit to come upon him. But here's the king of Israel, the king of Israel, who started with such a powerful anointing on him, Saul did. Think about that. He's the leader of Israel. And there's supposed to be an anointing operating off of him, from him. And he's in such rebellion that a demon spirit is actually on him. Isn't that terrible? And yet someone gave him some good advice. They said, listen, that depression, that fear that comes on him when that demon comes on him, they said, we ought to get somebody who's anointed, who can play the harp, and just let that person come and play. Just let that person just come and minister. Somebody who's anointed, and it'll drive that demon away. And so they found David, and they brought David in there, and David started playing the harp. He just started playing to God. He just started ministering to the Lord. And what happened? It chased that demon away. Not even a demon could stay in that anointed environment. I said, there's no devil in hell wants to be anywhere around you, wants to be anywhere near you. You're filled with God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. And let me tell you something, Satan wants no part of that with you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, you shouldn't be afraid of any devil. The devil's afraid of you. If you're a born again, spirit filled believer, realize who you are in Jesus Christ. On tonight, you are blessed, going somewhere to happen. God has seated you in heavenly places. Glory to God. And he's already given you the victory that Christ has already won. We are a victorious people going somewhere with the victory. I wish I had one amen in here. Demons are afraid of you. They're afraid of any believer, especially when they find out who they are in Christ. Glory be to God. And so Jesus was anointed there, we saw in Acts 10. We saw Peter was anointed there in Acts chapter 5. We saw even David here anointed in 1 Samuel 16. But now go with me to up to the back to the New Testament, John chapter 14. John 14. Because we should say, before you go to John 14, keep your finger in John 14. Let's go first to 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to come right to John 14, I promise. But go to 1 John chapter 2, because 1 John 2:20 and 2:27 give us some necessary background information. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And I came to remind you that you are anointed. Now, if you're not born again or you're backslidden, you need to get that right tonight with God. And you can get that right with God tonight. I said, amen. Amen. I said, if you're here tonight and you're not right with God and you're watching and you know you're not right with God, you can get that right tonight. God's hand, his love, his mercy. The Bible says he's rich in mercy, God loves you, and it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And let me tell you, if you're not walking with God tonight, then we can change that. You can change that at the end of this service. And if you've never been born again, then you can change that. But if you are born again, and if you are walking with God, oh my goodness, I came to remind you of some truths that the devil wishes you never found out about. We are in the book of 1 John now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But John, writing to spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers, he said this, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know." He said, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. In other words, he's saying to spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers, you already have an anointing. You're already anointed. Look at somebody and say humbly, "I'm already anointed." Look at somebody and tell them, "You're anointed." Yeah. Look down at verse 27. 1 John 2, 27. "As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides" where? "In you," abides in you. "And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him." That's saying to the born again. How many of you are born again? Tell me again. Show me again. How are you born again? You're on your way to heaven. Praise God. Those who are born again. And listen, you're born again. You're on your way to heaven. There's an anointing already in you. Because the Holy Ghost is in you. And if he's in you, there's an anointing in you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Sometimes believers walk around saying, "Well, I wish I could get anointed. I wish I was anointed. I wish." Well, if you're a believer, if you're really a believer, you're already anointed. The anointing is already on the inside of you. You don't ask God for something you've already got. You are anointed. You need to look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you already anointed. And once you stop looking at the mirror, then you remind the devil who you are. Praise God, in Jesus, in Christ. Hallelujah. You're already anointed, the scripture says there. Praise God. All right, now go with me over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Praise God. Praise God. You are anointed. You're already anointed. You're a born again believer. If you're born again, then Jesus is in you. If he's in you, the Holy Spirit's in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. You already are anointed. You already are anointed. John 14. John 14 and verse 17. Jesus speaking here, he said, "That is the Spirit of truth." Well, let's start at 16. John 14, 16. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be" where? "In you." Jesus was speaking into that day and that age in which you and I are now living. He said the day is coming, he was saying there to them, that the Spirit of God is going to be on the inside of you. And glory be to God, we're living in that day. Aren't you glad? Anybody glad the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you? Say this with me. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And see, the Holy Ghost, if you're born again, you're already born again. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you, and God has already anointed you with his Spirit on the inside. There's an anointing down on the inside of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we're speaking mainly here of what could be termed the anointing within. There's an anointing within you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in you. How did he get there? When you got born again, when you invited Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit came to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit came to reside on the inside of you. And with the Holy Spirit came the anointing. I said, you've already got it. Can I get one more amen?
Amen.
I want to clarify that, because sometimes folk walk around that are born again believers and they act like they're not anointed, and there's an anointing already down on the inside of you. So we should stay scripturally correct. You already anointed. I said amen. Seems like I should be getting a bigger amen than y'all are giving me. I don't know why that is. Just seems that way to me. So we've been talking, those scriptures I gave you, about what would be called the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit. When I say the Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside you, or the Spirit within you. Are you with me there? That's the Spirit within you. And predominantly, not for every situation, but predominantly the Spirit within us, so often he ministers to us as he's the great helper. So what does he do? He's a standby. He's a counselor. He's a guide. He's a truth revealer. He's a comforter. I said, amen. He's a helper. And he's down on the inside. He's a counselor. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, you've got him already down. If you're a born again believer, you've got him already down on the inside of you. Praise God. Anybody glad? Say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Yeah, he's down on the inside. His job is to help you. You say, I need help. What you need? I need peace. His job is to help you. Listen, we have to cooperate with him. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. A preacher lose all his amens when you mention cooperation. I'm messing with you. But that is the spirit within, the spirit within. Thank God for his ministry within. He wants to produce fruit on the inside of us. We don't have time. But you could go to Galatians 5:22 and read about the fruit of the Spirit and see the work of the Holy Spirit down on the inside of you. He's a fruit producer. Praise God. Said praise God. But all of those things are the ministry of the Holy Spirit within, or the Spirit within. Go with me now to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Praise God. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Praise God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus talking to the disciples in one of the last earthly conversations they would have before his ascension. And verse 8, he says, but you will receive power, dunamis, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. I want you, if you have your Bible, look at it again. We're looking at verse 8. Jesus is doing the talking. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Upon you. The other scriptures I read to you talked about the Holy Spirit within you, the Holy Spirit within us, the ministry of the Spirit within. There is the ministry of the Spirit within us that is primarily to minister to us, to help us, to minister to us. And then there is the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon us. Like Jesus is talking about here in verse 8. He said that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And it is primarily this ministry of the Holy Spirit upon us tonight, if you're born again, that we're speaking to. Thank God. We wouldn't make it without his ministry within us. Thank God for that. I said, thank God for the Holy Ghost and his ministry within us. But what we're talking about really now is his ministry upon us. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then what? You'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the remotest part of the earth. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon us primarily is to minister to other people. Now within us, not always, but within us, primarily to minister to us, to help us. But upon us, primarily to minister to other people. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. Amen. Are we clear on those two distinctions? We want to be scripturally correct. And so what we want to talk about in these moments that we have left is how to increase the anointing upon us. Can I get one amen there? The Holy Ghost is in you. There's an anointing down on the inside of you. Right now, we're talking about how to increase the anointing upon. When we looked at the ministry of Jesus, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. The Holy Ghost was upon, anointed Jesus, and he went about doing good and healing and setting the captives free. Glory to God. And he's still doing the same thing today. He's still saving, he's still healing, he's still delivering. I wish I had a bigger amen. If he ever saved, he's still saving today. If he ever healed, he's still healing today. If he ever delivered, he's still delivering right now. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I said, there's power, dunamis, dynamite type power in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. And so we thank God for his ministry within us, but we're talking about how to increase the anointing, how to increase the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us in this remaining time that we have. Upon us now. So number one, let's just start out real easy here. Number one, one way to increase the anointing. How many, we should all want to increase the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. Peter, he got so anointed, he just walking down the street. And they bring the sick, where we read in Acts chapter 5, and just push the sick into his shadow. And people get in his shadow and got healed. How many of you know that's anointed? I wish I had a bigger amen than that. David take out the harp and start singing praises to God right there in his apartment, just lifting a hand to the Lord and beginning to bless the name of the Lord, and power, Holy Ghost power, was generated right there in his home. How many know that's anointed? The demon couldn't even take it. The demon just said, I've got to go. I can't stay in that environment. Yeah. We should all be interested in furthering the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Somebody said, well, I just let God just do that. I don't got nothing to do with it. Ooh, I'm just going to sit here and sing Kumbaya and let God do that. No, my brother, no, my sister, you and I have something to do with it. So let me give you these ways that we can increase the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Number one, this is an easy one, but an important one. Number one, get your rest. Can I say it that way? It is hard to yield yourself to the Spirit when you are physically tired. The more we are a triune being, spirit, soul, and body, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We're a triune being. We're not just body, and we're not just soul, and we're not just spirit, soul, and body. The real us is a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Thank God. Thank God for that revelation. But even though we are really a spirit, when we get tired, I tell you, it gets hard to yield to the Holy Ghost. The reason you need to make sure you're rested, you need to make sure you have your rest so that you can yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. A brother ought to get a bigger amen than that. Psalm 127, verse 2 and 3. God gives his beloved sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. God wants a. Have you ever been praying about something and you needed an answer about something and you can't figure out which way is the Spirit leading you, and then you go to bed, you wake up, and then you get up, and then you know down on the inside after you have slept and rested, you get up and you know exactly what God wants you to do. Has that ever happened to anybody or just me? Once you get under the anointing, thank God for the anointing, but if you let your body get too physically tired, it'll be hard for you to yield yourself. And sometimes you need to get yourself away, shut yourself away, and get the TV or whatever it is distracting you off, and get your body rested. Why? So that your body can be in the best position to receive and yield yourself. Oh, I'm doing a good job teaching this. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Get your rest. Number two, listen, learn how to submit and receive from others. I might have to dodge a few tomatoes on that one. That's not an amen point to make. When I felt like I had this point from the Lord, then I knew, I said, Lord, I ain't going to get no amens on this one that you're giving me. I'm going to say it because I believe you're telling me to say it, but I ain't getting no amen. What's that point again, Bill? Learn how to submit and receive from others. Let's start at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17, New American Standard. It says this: obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over you, over your souls, as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Ooh, that's a powerful scripture. This scripture has to be kept in its context. This scripture is not some license for some type of ungodly, what was called in yesteryear, shepherding, where ministers telling people when they can go on vacation and how to spend their money and stupid stuff like that. People, you know, anything you have, people either take it to excess or the enemy tries to push people into excess and distort something that's true. But there is the reality of this scripture. Hey, you ought to listen to your leaders. Can I get an amen, Pastor Tad? Can I get an amen, Reverend Greg? Can I get an amen there? You know, you ought to listen. We ought to listen as the Hagans are instructing us. We ought to listen to our leaders. And the thing is, you know, a lot of times, if you act like you know it all, if you act like you know everything, then when you get around your leader, you know, they're just going to say, well, okay, we'll do whatever you want to do. If you really need your leader's advice and you come to your leader and say, I already know what to do. The Lord already told me what to do. God spoke to me and told me what to do. You know what the leader's going to tell you? Go do that. I'm not going to say anything that if you think God told you to do something, I'm not going to say anything different to you. But if a person will come and say, you know, the Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. Can I just run something by you and have you see what you think and you give me anything that you might think about it? Oh, man, there's wisdom in that. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. Yeah, I know a pastor called me just a few months ago, called me. I won't say his name, he told me, I'm preaching, ministering on a certain subject. And he said, you know, I'm getting, you know, some pushback, some blowback for on what I'm teaching, but I think it's of the Lord. And he said, Brother Bill, I want to send you my message and send you a couple of my recent messages. I want to know if you'll listen to them. Just give me your honest opinion. Yeah. And I thought, man, what a humble, he's a tremendous man of God. And so I listened to those messages, and then where I thought that he could use some advice, I gave it to him, and man, that just seemed to help him immeasurably. Yeah. That's why it's so important. If you've come here to go to school or whatever, you ought to stay hooked up with RMAI. You ought to stay hooked up with the alumni department. You ought to stay hooked up with those who can speak into you. Oh, I'm doing a better job preaching this than y'all are saying amen. Y'all slowing me down. You ought to stay hooked up. Why? Give people the opportunity. Those who are your leader, give them an opportunity to speak into your life if they need to. Oh, that's a good point. Let me go on. But I will say this. Let me give you this other scripture. Ephesians 5:21. You know what it says in the New Living Translation? Ephesians 5:21. It says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's a good scripture. That's one of the least often quoted scriptures in the Bible. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Woo! The reason, listen, if we're not cautious, we might miss the ministry of the Lord Jesus through another believer. And we need to learn how to submit ourselves. The Lord might be speaking to you through another brother, through another sister. And if that happens and you're humble enough and sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, man, you can be helped immeasurably. And so the Bible tells us right there, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We don't have time to read this one. I'll give you the reference, though. Acts 18:24-28. Acts 18:24-28. That's where Brother Apollos, the Bible says that he was an eloquent man. Mighty in the scriptures in the early church. Apollos was mighty, mighty in the scriptures. Had an eloquence and an anointing. And Pastors Priscilla and Aquila, they heard him speaking somewhere, and they said, he needs a little more help. And they pulled Apollos aside, verse 24-28, Acts 18. They pulled him aside and gave him some further information. After the Bible already told us he was eloquent, he was mighty in the word, he was anointed, but he was humble enough to receive. Woo. And they gave him some further information, and the Bible said they sent him back out there, and he was using even a greater way. He was even more anointed. Yeah. But we need to know how to submit and receive from others. Thirdly, let's go on. I said, get your rest. Number one, listen, learn how to submit and receive from others. Listen, number three, spend time with God. Because when we spend time with God, what's on him will rub off on us. Mark 1:35 says, Jesus got up a great while before it was day. He went out to a solitary place and there he prayed. Yeah. Over in Acts 4:13, it says, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, understood that they were uneducated, untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. They recognized Peter and John. What was on Jesus had rubbed off. That's really what the anointing means, to rub off, to smear. They recognized that what was on Jesus had rubbed off on his disciples. And when you spend time with Jesus, it'll rub off on you too. Yeah. Obey God rather than man. Man, number four. Obey God rather than man. Write this reference down. Acts 5, 17 through 21 and Acts 5, 25 through 29. And Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. Obedience to God will increase the anointing of the Spirit upon your life. When God tells you he wants you to witness to someone, preacher ain't gonna get no amen here, and you obey the Lord, and you share the love of Jesus, oh man, you will increase the anointing on your life. But if you always resist that, the Holy Spirit says, share with that person, and you resist him. And the Holy Spirit says, well, help that person over there. You resist that. And the Holy Spirit's telling you, go bake bread for your neighbor. You resist that. Man, you're not going to be able to increase the anointing of the Spirit upon you. Number five, seek to please God. Seek to please God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Yeah. Our job is to please our commanding officer. Ephesians 5:10 says we ought to consider every way possible to please the Lord. How can we please the Lord? Ephesians 5:10. On and on. We could go on and on with scriptures like that. Number six, listen, get saturated with the Word of God. You want to increase the anointing of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit upon you? Get saturated with the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4 that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Over in the book of Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Want to increase the anointing of the Spirit upon you? Saturate yourself with the mighty word of God. His word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing. I tell you, that word's anointed, just dripping with the anointing. And when we meditate on that word, Joshua 1:8, we start meditating on the anointed word, and that word gets on the inside of us. Oh my. You'll increase the anointing of the Spirit upon you. Number seven, build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14:2, for one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. The one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. But one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Yeah. Build yourself up praying. And you want to increase the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you? Take extra time to build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And finally, you want to increase the anointing. We should all have this desire to increase the anointing of God upon our lives. Listen, pray and add this element of simple fasting. Don't go goofy. Don't do goofy stuff with fasting, because, you know, when you deprive your body of food, you can have hallucinations and you can have delirium tremens. You can see all kind of stuff. Somebody said, well, you know, whatever happens, let the word define your experience. Don't let your experience define the word. Is that fair enough? Brother Hagin said we should never fast more than 3 days unless the Lord specifically told us that. He said it's better to just skip a meal. Just skip a meal. Even better than that, just to live a fasted life. He's got a great book on fasting. But fast and pray. So to increase, let me just summarize here. Get your rest, number one. Look, you want to increase the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. Get your rest. Number two, learn how to submit and receive from others. Number three, spend time with the mighty word. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. Number four, obey God rather than man. Number five, seek to please God. Seek to please him. Number six, get saturated with the word of God. Number seven, build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. And number eight, listen, take time to fast and pray. And I tell you, the anointing that's already, you already have an anointing within you, and there's already an anointing upon you if you're a believer, but you'll increase the anointing upon you if you do those things. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. Thank you so much for helping us in every situation. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost that you've given to us. You've given us the mighty Holy Spirit on the inside, our great helper. Thank you for him. Thank you for helping us to increase the anointing upon our lives. Hallelujah, as believers. But if you're here in this audience or watching by a live stream or some other way, you're listening through some other venue, and you are not sure that you would go to heaven, let me see your hand in this place. Let me pray for you. You say, I'm not sure if I died tonight. If I died tonight, I'm not certain. I'm not certain that I would go to heaven. Is that you? Is that you, my friend? Are you assured heaven? God forbid, should something happen to you tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? Are you born again? Are you sure about that? Anybody here, you say, pray for me. I'm not sure about it. Pray for me. I'm not sure what would happen. Anybody here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm born again, but I'm not living right. I'm not living right. And I know what you mean about the anointing because I know the anointing is within me, but I've been living going my own way. And I want to increase the anointing of God upon my life, and I want to make things right with God. Are you here tonight? You say, preacher, pray for me. I want to get right. Thank you. So you say, I just want to make it right with God. Just lift your hand. Let me pray for you. If you'll cooperate with him, he's trying to help you. You sense the Lord. He's tugging at you. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get anybody in here. Lift your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. If you lifted your hand, you can put it down. Anybody else? Hey, I want the Lord to help me. I want the Lord to help me. I need your help, Lord. I need your help. I want to give my life back to you. I want to get things straightened out. I just want to make one more pass. Just want to make sure everybody's right with God. You know, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, if he's tugging at your heart, get your hand in the air. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Let God change your situation around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, I want you to do something for me. If you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, listen, I want you to stand up on your feet. Just come right down here and let me pray for you. I said I'd pray for you. I just want to pray for you. Come on down here and let me pray for you. Come on down here. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed at all. God's going to help you. God's going to bless you. God's going to change you. God bless you. God's going to help you. Somebody else, you're here and God's talking to you. God's talking to you. Just stay right there, sis. Anybody else, God's dealing with you. He wants to help you. Oh, come on. This is your hour. Let him help you. Oh, he's going to bring the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you in such a mighty, mighty way. Oh, but you're going to have to cooperate with him. Anybody here tonight, you want to cooperate with God? My sister, just lift one hand. Are y'all coming? Come on. Praise God. Come on. Come on. Come on. Praise God. God's going to help you tonight. That's right. Come on. Don't be embarrassed about it. Just stay right there. You're good. You're good. Come right up here. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God for both of you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you, brother. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, in the audience, stand up on your feet. It's not too late. The altar's still open. God loves you. The Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. God wants to help you tonight. Don't leave here and you know you're not right with God. Oh, get right with God and let that anointing come on you. His mighty anointing is going to come upon you. Glory to God. God's going to use you in ways you haven't imagined. I just want you down here to lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand to the Lord. It just means that, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm not coming to a man. I'm coming to you. Those in the audience, just extend your hand. Just extend your hand. Father, we just thank you right now for all of our friends here. And in the name of Jesus, we pray for each and every one of them, Father God. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for touching them tonight. Thank you for your mighty power flowing through them tonight. Thank you for driving out that which the enemy has wrought. Thank you, Father God, for creating a brand new, Father, change them, transform them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for setting your hand upon them in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you for doing a mighty work upon them. I just want everybody to say this prayer out loud. You all say it out loud too. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I ask you to change me. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to wash it all away. I'm committing myself to live for you every day of my life. So make me the person that you want me to be. And in Jesus' name, I will live for you for all of my days. Now just put one hand, the other hand up, and let's praise him tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless you and thank you and honor you. And Father, we thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost, the mighty Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost. He is coming upon, glory to God, coming upon in the mighty, mighty way. Father, I thank you for using these that are here in a mighty way. I thank you for your anointing, your raw anointing to come upon them, Father God, and to call them to that which you have for them and to use them in ways they have never imagined. And Father God, to set them at work for the kingdom of God. I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is Reverend Greg Finley, and he's got some free information for you. I want you to go with him. He's not going to keep you long. He's going to give you some free information, answer a few questions. Just go with him for a few minutes. He's just going to give you some free information. Praise God. Let's give everyone, thank you. Let's give every one of these a big hand. Praise God. Glory to God. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, come on, come on. If that was the Dallas Cowboys, if that was the Denver Nuggets, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Point your hand toward them one more time. Father, thank you for touching them, for helping them, for using them. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, for flowing through them. Oh, Father, may they never be the same. May they never, never be the same. May they never be the same. In the name of Jesus, may your healing power break forth on them. In Jesus' name, may they be delivered, healed, set free. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, thank you for coming to church tonight, for being so easy to, just a joy really to minister. And you make it so easy on a preacher to share the word. And so remember, let's pray for our leaders this week. Didn't Pastor and Mrs. Hagen do a wonderful job? The Hagen family, Craig and Denise leading us this week. Praise God. If you weren't able to be here, you need to go and get the CDs or the digital media, whatever you, however you receive, and get that and get the word down on the inside of you, because it's hearing that anointed word that's going to increase the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. So get that fresh, hot word. There's nothing like, you know, the other day my son and I were home. I made pancakes, you know. I said, brother, you better come get them now. My pancakes don't wait for nobody. There's nothing like pancakes when they're hot. When you get the word of God, when it's just come off of winter Bible seminar week, that word is hot. Glory to God. So go out there and avail yourself. You be safe going home. We love you. Thank you for being here. Bless you. And we do have some visitors. We had some visitors. If our first time visitors, let's give them a big hand. If you would go with our connection team members, we're going to give you a gift. They're not going to hold you long either. We got a great gift for you. You'll be glad you went with them. Get a good gift. Give them one more hand. Let's let them get out. Give them one more hand. Some folks, it was their first time tonight. Praise God. Glory to God. All right. Looks like all hearts are clear. Then you are dismissed. God bless you, one and all.